This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack says comments are starting to come in regarding his beef checkoff proposal. Vilsack continues to say the only reason he has proposed the secondary checkoff is for a lack of agreement by the checkoff working group.
Well, the comments are coming in. Obviously, folks are concerned. At the end of the day, this is really about an effort to try to put more resources behind marketing, research, and promotion of beef. We have, a challenge domestically from lots of competition from other sources of protein, and we have obviously tremendous export opportunities, all of which speak to the need for additional resources. And my hope would be that the industry could come together and coalesce around a single checkoff, but they haven't been able to do that over the last 3 years of discussions. My view is if we can't reach an agreement on a single checkoff, then by all means we ought to take a look at a complementary checkoff to ensure that we do get those resources into the system and do a better job of promotion and research and marketing.
On the other hand, Vilsack calls last week's decision by the EPA a practical announcement.
The reality is they received a lot of comments to what they proposed for 2014, and because of the extent of the comments and the extension of the comment period, we're now in a place where we might as well just wait for the end of 2014 and use actual numbers to set the responsibility for 2014. There's just a little time left in the year. And I think EPA also recognizes that because of the delay and because of the criticism associated with the delay, that they do have a responsibility to step up and perhaps accelerate their activities for 2015 and 16.
Vilsack says while this may have been a frustrating time, he believes we will see EPA trying to provide support to the industry on the RFS.
Recognizing that it is tied in some way to the amount of fuel that's being used by folks throughout the United States. And frankly, that's one of the reasons why there was some change on the part of EPA. We saw the economy improve and more people started driving more gas was being consumed. And the assumption that they used when they first formulated the 2014 numbers was no longer accurate. I think it's a good thing that they're looking at 2015 and 16. Hopefully that'll send a strong supportive message to an industry that's helping to create jobs, stabilize prices, and bring down the cost of fuel generally.
That's Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. Agriculture students, Illinois Farm Bureau members, and their children may apply for college scholarships offered by the IAA Foundation, Illinois Farm Bureau's charitable arm. 74 scholarships, ranging from $1,000 to $7,500 per year, will be awarded in a total of $179,800 for the 2015-2016 school year. There are a variety of scholarships available, including ones for students studying crop science and pursuing a master's degree related to research. These students are eligible for the Illinois Soybean Association Crop Science Scholarships. 10 $4,000 scholarships will be awarded to junior-level majors. Recipients are then eligible for an additional $4,000 in this renewable program, providing a total of $8,000 for his or her junior and senior years of college. Also available are 25 $1,200 scholarships to students from specific Southern Illinois counties as part of the Dorothy and Wilhelmine Ratterman Memorial Scholarships. 12 Prairie Farms Dairy Scholarships are also available, each worth $2,000. These will go to patrons and employees of the company. An additional two $1,000 scholarships are available to producers affiliated with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. An additional 12 scholarships, ranging from $1,000 to $1,500, are available to students that meet certain criteria, including area of study, place of residence, previous 4-H experience, and college or university attended. Students receiving IAA Foundation scholarships who are enrolled in the Agriculture Department at Illinois State University or Southern Illinois University may be eligible for additional scholarship funds from their respective universities. This partnership furthers the IAA Foundation's effort to encourage top students to continue their education at an Illinois institution. All applicants must be high school seniors accepted for enrollment or students already enrolled at an accredited college, university, or community college. Scholarships are awarded for exceptional academic ability, leadership, and financial need. Previous winners of an IAA Foundation scholarship are eligible to apply again. A full listing of the available scholarships, eligibility guidelines, and application documents are available at the Foundation website, www.iaafoundation.org. Completed applications must be postmarked on or before February 1st. Illinois happens to be home to one of the world's oldest agricultural research plots. Every 6 years, the entire plot is planted to corn. Todd Gleason reports it is a working research farm and a living museum.
When you leave the hallowed halls of
You know, there's a story here at the University of Illinois.
There is just one thing you can't forget, my boy.
And it is a very true story.
It's an old established room.
Our undergraduate library, the place where students go and study. Our undergraduate library is built underground. And that happened for only one reason.
Oh, you can't throw shade on the corn. It'll die as sure as your corn. No, sir, we don't mess around. Now that berry's underground, because you can't throw shade on the corn.
Nope, you just can't throw shade on the corn in the Marl plots.
Yeah, that's right. You know, The story about the undergraduate library is the fact that it's actually built underground rather than above ground to reduce any impact of shade on the Marl plots.
That's agronomist Bob Dunker. He takes care of the Marl plots and says the undergraduate library isn't the only building adjusted downward to keep the sunshine on the corn. And it's all happened for good reason.
It really is a historical continuum, kind of a living museum. You know, it was established in 1876, and it's the longest continuous research plot in America, and actually has the longest continuous corn plot in the world that has been documented. And you know, over the series of that time, it's been pretty much managed very similar as far as rotational scheme and looking at the effects of both fertilizer and crop rotation on soil quality.
The Marl plots, established in the mid-late 1800s, are just about as old as the University of Illinois itself. This land grant was established in 1867. The Marl plots were much bigger back then. Three of the original plots remain, says Bob Dunker.
You know, originally there were 10 plots in the Marl plots, and now there actually are three, plots 3, 4, and 5, and Plot 3 has been in continuous corn since 1876. You know, Plot 4 has been in a two-year rotation from 1876 until 1967, was in a corn-oats rotation, and then soybeans were swapped out for oats after that period to more closely reflect what our typical agriculture is for this day. And Plot 5 has always been in a three-year rotation. It still has oats. It's a corn-oats alfalfa rotation, and so that's our three-year rotation. You know, only every 6 years, because of the way the rotations occur, is it in continuous corn, and that's when we can actually measure the responses of the different treatments because we have a uniform crop.
The continuous corn plots, the plot that hasn't ever been seeded with anything other than corn, typically has the lowest yields. The three-year corn oats alfalfa rotation has the best long-term average yield. You can come see the Marl plots for yourself on the University of Illinois campus. They're just to the east of the underground undergraduate library. The Marl plots song, as performed by the other guys, they've been an a cappella group on campus since 1968. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.